but grammar is still done. Things like nouns and verbs and adjectives. Anyone know what an adjective is? Anyone under 20 can tell me what an adjective is? Oh, Luke. A describing word. Excellent. Yes, an adjective is a word that goes in front of a noun. Now, the thing I remember about adjectives is there's different versions of them called comparative and superlatives. And it's something like big, bigger, biggest. So you start with a word, then you put an ER on, and then you put an EST on. That makes it more, and then it makes it very, very much of it. So fast, faster, fastest. And I should tell you, talking of fast, faster, fastest, the last we heard, Hamilton was second in the Grand Prix. He started at 20th. He's doing very well. So we have these three things, big, bigger, biggest. And today we're going to look at comparatives and superlatives. But the difficult thing about learning English is that lots of the grammar is irregular. It doesn't follow the rules in all sorts of ways. So, for example, you should have bad, badder, baddest. But we don't. It doesn't sound right. So we have bad, worse, worst. Or far, you should have farer and farest. But something's happened in the past, or we don't. We change them. Here's an irregular one. I'm not going to tell you what the first word is, so you can tell me. What do we have before better and best? It should be bet. Bet, better, bettest. What should it be? Good. Well done, Andy. Well done. Oh, it's Margaret. Sorry. Okay. It should be. It should be good, better, best. And I was speaking to my daughter, Sarah, on the phone this morning, and she immediately came out with this rhyme, which I didn't know. But do you know this? Good, better, best. Never let it rest. Till your good is better and your better's best. Who knew that? Well, not that many. Okay, right. So, this morning we're going to organise the talk in three bits. Good, better and best. Because we've called Easter, our sort of heading for Easter, is better than Christmas. So Christmas is good. That's our sort of starting point. And we can think back. It's only 3 months ago. And why is Christmas good? Well, we have all the nice things. We have presents. We have nice food. We have holidays. We meet our families, which for lots of us, hopefully, is a good thing. But behind all that, we have this very indulgent time. Of course, at Christmas, we're really remembering the birthday of Jesus. And we've been through all this at Christmas time. We talked about it. He wasn't just any baby born in some remote village to a couple of peasant parents. He was very special because he was actually God come to live among us as a human being. And this is called the incarnation. And it's very easy to remember that because you might have had chili con carne for dinner at one time. And the carne bit in chili con carne means meat. Basically, you have chili with meat. And it means meat or flesh. And the incarnation is God being flesh on Jesus. So instead of trying to think of some spirit God that we can't see, we can see God dressed as a human being. There's a line in that carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it says, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. So it's a sort of slightly complicated sentence, but basically we can see God because he's put on flesh. He's incarnate. And this is good news. We can't deny that. I think the angels said that, didn't they? Glad tidings of great joy to you all. Good news to human beings. So Christmas is good because it shows that God is committed to human beings. He's come to visit us. He wants to know us. He wants to show us what he's like. It shows us that God loves us. So Christmas was good, but Easter is better. And actually, of course, Easter comes in two parts, which are very different. Friday was what we call Good Friday, and we remember the fact that Jesus was killed, was crucified. And today, Easter Sunday, we're celebrating the fact that he rose again, the resurrection. And we're going to look at these 2 days separately, and we're having communion in between the two discussions of them. So firstly, let's reflect on Good Friday, Jesus dying on the cross. Of course, people often ask, why is it called Good Friday? Well, I want to suggest it's really Better Friday. Christmas was good. The Friday we've just had was better. Christmas was good because it showed God's interest in us. He came to be a man. He came to live among us. But it soon became very obvious that this man, Jesus, was very, very different to everyone else because, essentially, he was perfect. He wasn't selfish. He didn't complain. He did miracles of healing, miracles over nature. And all this was to show what God is like, reflecting God's character. But what use is that to us if we're stuck in our lives here where we know that we keep getting things wrong, we keep messing things up? It would actually be quite cruel of God to show us his greatness, his perfection, and then to say to people, well, you can never be like this. You can never share my perfect existence. It'd be a bit like someone maybe who had a wonderful home with a garden, a swimming pool, maybe a theme park at the back of the garden, letting people look through the fence, but saying, you can't share this. That would be horrible. So God found a way of letting us share his love, his glory. He let us in. But it wasn't easy because we're not good enough to be with him. In fact, we can't help doing things that don't fit him with his plan. We constantly mess it up. To get an idea of how God resolved the problem, in a minute we're going to hear a reading from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, which I'm sure we're all quite familiar with. It's the story of Aslan. And in this part, he's trying to clear up the mess after Edmund has betrayed his brothers and sisters. Edmund has gone over to the White Witch, all for some Turkish delight. He betrayed them for such a small thing. And Margaret's going to read what happens, how Aslan negotiates with the White Witch about how to save Edmund. Margaret.
You have a traitor there, Aslan, said the witch. Of course, everyone present knew that she meant Edmund. But Edmund had got past thinking about himself after all he'd been through, and after the talk he'd had that morning. He just went on looking at Aslan. It didn't seem to matter what the witch said. Well, said Aslan, his offence was not against you. Have you forgotten the deep magic? Asked the witch. Let us say I have forgotten it, answered Aslan gravely. Tell us of this deep magic. Tell you, said the witch, her voice growing suddenly shriller. Tell you what is written on that very table of stone which stands beside us. Tell you what is written in letters deep as a spear is long, on the firestones on the secret hill. Tell you what is engraved on the sceptre of the emperor beyond the sea. You at least know the magic which the emperor put into Narnia at the very beginning. You know that every traitor belongs to me as my lawful prey, and that for every treachery I have the right to a kill. And so, continued the witch, that human creature is mine. His life is forfeit to me, and his blood is my property. Come and take it then, said the bull with the man's head in a great bellowing voice. Fool, said the witch with a savage smile that was almost a snarl. Do you really think your master can rob me of my rights by mere force? He knows the deep magic better than that. He knows that unless I have blood, as the law says, all Narnia will be overturned and perish in fire and water. It is very true, said Aslan. I do not deny it. Oh, Aslan, whispered Susan in the lion's ear, can't we, you won't, will you? Can't we do something about the deep magic? Isn't there something you can do to work against it? Work against the Emperor's magic, said Aslan, turning to her with something like a frown on his face. And nobody ever made that suggestion to him again.
Thank you. So the deep magic said that Edmund deserved to die. He deserved to be killed by the witch because of his treachery. And it's the same for us, because whenever we do things wrong, we deserve to be punished in the same way. But Good Friday, Better Friday, is all about Jesus stepping in, taking our place, dying instead of us, just as Aslan does in the next part of the story. And we'll shortly be hearing during communion, where we reflect on the lines, it says, his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us. And we can be very thankful for that. Anna's going to come now and lead us in our prayers, and then we're going into communion.
Our Father, God in heaven, thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to live amongst us, showing us what you are like. Thank you for his character, his love, his kindness, his holiness, his compassion, reflecting your character. And thank you that he willingly gave himself up to die in our place, so that our sins could be forgiven, and we could become your children too. We thank you in his name. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for those in special need today. We pray for those who are sick, especially for John and Wendy Hale, for Christine Blandon, for Olive Burridge, and any others we each know. We pray for those who are sad through disappointment or failure. We pray for those who are anxious or worried, perhaps about money or jobs or their future. We pray that you will help and comfort all those in need. Amen. Dear Father God, we thank you for Easter Sunday, when we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. As we see the natural world start to come to life again, with new flowers and plants growing, we remember Jesus springing back to life after his crucifixion. Thank you that you showed your power by raising him, and that you promise new life to us when we follow you. We thank you in his name. Amen.
So, Christmas was good, God coming to live among men, and Good Friday was better, Jesus dying, taking the rap for our sins so that we can know God. I got a phone call at 8 o'clock this morning from my daughter Sarah, who just finished a night shift as a nurse, and I said, thank you, I said this was my outline. So she had to think, and 20 minutes later, she's still on the bus, she phoned back and said, well, is it right? Is it really Christmas that's good and Good Friday that's better? Because we wouldn't have had Good Friday if we hadn't had Christmas. So perhaps Christmas was better, because that was a sort of prerequisite. I was so impressed that we could have a theological discussion. She's been on duty for 12 hours in a cancer ward, so I thought that was amazing. And of course, it's just almost playing with words, which is best or better. The two aspects of what Jesus did, the fact that he was incarnate and the fact that he died for us. They go together intrinsically. But I think we can't deny that after good and better, we get best. I don't know where we are with this now. So it doesn't matter too much. Here we are. Easter Sunday is best. Good, better, best. Best of all is Easter Sunday and Jesus' resurrection. We know the story that on Easter morning, the women went to the tomb and it was empty. I like the way that in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, it's Susan and Lucy who go to the table, the stone table, and find that it's empty. Lewis has picked up the idea that the women were very involved in Jesus' whole ministry. So Lucy and Susan go, the stone table's empty. What's happened? Margaret will tell us the next bit.
"Who's done it?" cried Susan. "What does it mean? Is it magic?" "Yes," said a great voice behind their backs. "It is more magic." They looked round. There, shining in the sunrise, larger than they had seen him before, and shaking his mane, for it had apparently grown again, stood Aslan himself. "Oh, Aslan!" cried both the children, staring up at him, almost as much frightened as they were glad. "Aren't you dead, then, dear Aslan?" said Lucy. "Not now," said Aslan. "You're not a..." asked Susan in a shaky voice. She couldn't bring herself to say the word ghost. Aslan stooped his golden head and licked her forehead. The warmth of his breath and a rich sort of smell that seemed to hang about his hair came all over her. "Do I look it?" he said. "Oh, you're real, you're real! Oh, Aslan," cried Lucy. And both girls flung themselves upon him and covered him with kisses. "But what does all this mean?" asked Susan, when they were somewhat calmer. "It means," said Aslan, "that though the White Witch knew the deep magic, there is a deeper magic which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back, into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there was a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack, and death itself would start working backwards. And now..." "Oh, yes, now," said Lucy, jumping up and down and clapping her hands. "Oh, children," said the lion, "I feel my strength coming back to me. Oh, children, catch me if you can." He stood for a second, his eyes very bright and his limbs quivering, lashing himself with his tail. Then he made a leap high over their heads and landed on the other side of the table. Laughing, though she didn't know why, Lucy scrambled over to reach him. Aslan leapt again, and a mad chase began. Round and round the hilltop he led them, now hopelessly out of their reach, now letting them almost catch his tail, now diving between them, now tossing them into the air with his huge and beautifully velveted paws, and catching them again, and now stopping unexpectedly, so that all three of them rolled over together in a happy, laughing heap of fur and arms and legs. That was such a romp as no one has ever had, except in Narnia. And whether it was more like playing with a thunderstorm or playing with a kitten, Lucy could never make up her mind. And the funny thing was that when all three finally lay together, panting in the sun, the girls no longer felt in the least tired or hungry or thirsty.
Thank you again. They had an absolutely fantastic time celebrating Aslan's resurrection. It was all because of the deeper magic that when someone else voluntarily died in Edmund's place, then death itself was defeated. And they now had a sort of great vision of unlimited joy and freedom and hope, all guaranteed by the new life that Aslan had been given. And it's exactly the same for us because of Jesus rising again. It's the best news of all. Jesus rose from the dead. Because it shows that death isn't the end. It wasn't for Jesus, and it won't be for us, because we can look forward eventually to following in his footsteps, if we are his followers. It doesn't make death any less painful. Death is still awful. But it gives us a certain hope of something beyond death. And the resurrection shows as well that Jesus was indeed divine. He was God, as he claimed. And it made his whole ministry true. All the things that he said, all the things that he did, it wasn't just some crackpot preacher wandering around Palestine spouting his head off. He was the real thing. He was God. So at this Easter time, let's worship him and celebrate. Let's commit ourselves afresh to following and serving him in all that we say and do.
Father, we thank you so much that you are good and you came to us in creation. We thank you so much for Good Friday, which is better by far, because though we are sinful, you loved us and you died for us. And we thank you so much for Easter Sunday, which is best. Because you are wonderful and powerful, and you give us new life because Jesus was raised from the dead. And we thank you so much for him. And we pray that we can know your resurrection power at work in us as we live our lives day by day, that we would have that wonderful hope as well of heaven, and that we would know your presence with us each day. So we thank you so much. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. And let's conclude by reflecting, hopefully, on the video.